Hi, welcome to Cinema Scrutiny. I'm Kobe Davenport. This episode is about The Shawshank Redemption. Just a warning, there will be spoilers discussed throughout the entire episode, and it's recommended you watch the movie before listening. Another disclaimer, this episode talks about violence and sexual assault in prison. If you're uncomfortable with this topic, you may not want to listen to this episode. Before we begin, though, a brief introduction. The Shawshank Redemption was released in 1994 and is based off the Stephen King short story Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption. It was written and directed by Frank Darabont, and this is his first time working on a feature film. The movie follows a man named Andy Dufresne, played by Tim Robbins, who is sentenced to life in prison after having been convicted of murdering his wife and her lover. He is sent to Shawshank State Penitentiary, where he meets Red, played by Morgan Freeman, who is 20 years into a life sentence for murder and is a known contraband smuggler at Shawshank. The movie follows the relationship between inmates, guards, and the warden for the next 20 years. The movie initially received mixed reviews, with many criticizing its depictions of violence in prison. However, this didn't stop it from being nominated for 7 Oscars, including Best Picture, which went to Forrest Gump for that year. In its initial release, The Shawshank Redemption grossed $16 million, but after the Oscars in 1995, it was one of the top-rented movies of that year. The Shawshank Redemption is currently IMDb's top-rated movie of all time. Personally, I believe that this is a fantastic movie, and it is one that I recommend to almost everyone I know. It's a very approachable movie that is entertaining while still providing a deeper meaning and purpose than most other blockbuster or similar movies. However, it still doesn't alienate people that aren't into artsier movies. I think that Shawshank is able to tread this line between being purposeful and important without feeling pretentious and overly stylized, and that's what allows for it to be such a good movie while still being as far-reaching and prevalent as it is in pop culture. Although I normally tend to like movies with really meaningful directing and other more subtle forms of filmmaking, which Shawshank doesn't necessarily have, this movie's story and characters still speak to me in a way that most movies don't. Although it's not a huge part of the reason that I love this movie, I think we should first talk about some of the techniques that Darabont uses. The entire movie is narrated by Red, played by Morgan Freeman, as I said earlier, and this is an incredibly effective method of storytelling because it allows for us to get a very personal form of commentary from someone who's very knowledgeable about the prison. However, it still doesn't feel quite as personal as if Andy himself was narrating. Throughout the movie, Andy keeps a lot of things hidden from the inmates and from the guards, and by having Red narrate, it sort of provides us a basis for the known knowledge that sets up the twist later in the movie very effectively. I think in general, narration is a form of storytelling that is used quite frequently, but it's done in such a masterful way here that it only helps to propel the story forward and help pace the movie more effectively, whereas without it, the movie could be either dragging or rushing at times without fully explaining its ideas. I also really appreciate Darabont's directing of more violent and sexually graphic scenes in the movie. I think most of the times directors will try and make these scenes feel dynamic or energetic by having quick cuts and movement in their scenes, while Darabont is instead much more still and deliberate with these scenes. The one that really comes to mind here is the first night in prison when the guards beat one of the inmates to death. And the camera doesn't cut, it just stays still with them in the center and the other guards lined up behind them. I feel like this style of directing is incredibly beneficial to the movie because it highlights the violence and the sheer horror of the reality that the inmates at Shawshank were facing. I think this goes along really well with, in general, the cinematography of the movie. The cinematographer of this movie was Roger Deakins, who's a very famous cinematographer. He's been nominated for 14 Oscars, and he's won 2. Some of his movies that he's worked on include 1917, Blade Runner 2049, Fargo, Skyfall, right? So he has this very extensive catalog of movies that he's worked on. And I feel like in this movie, his style really fits into the overall theme of the movie. There are these grand sort of open shots of Shawshank, whereas like when many movies portray prisons, they often go for this claustrophobic feeling, whereas in Shawshank, that's not necessarily the case. The cinematography almost feels like it's freeing the inmates of Shawshank. They do these wide aerials in the prison yard, they use only wide shots, and it makes it feel a lot more spacious than it actually would be. This changes, however, when filmed inside of solitary and similar areas of confinement, and it really provides this contrast of the reality of the prisoner's situation as opposed to how they actually feel when inside, which is as fairly free men. So yeah, I think that's incredibly effective. His movies are always just gorgeous anyways, and that's the case here, but I feel like there's a lot of meaningful cinematography going into it. I feel like the pacing of this movie is really effective. It takes place over the span of 20 years, and it's a 2.5 hour long movie with tons of varying side plots and story arcs that it's going through. However, it never feels claustrophobic. It never quite feels like it's talking about too much at once. The movie is really well paced out, or it's really effectively paced out, and as a result, everything feels very meaningful, and the movie never gets boring. It takes time for scenes that are of the characters talking and just providing this dialogue, while also having more montage sort of scenes narrated by Morgan Freeman that show the passage of time really well. And I think in general, the pacing is part of what allows for this movie to be so good. In general, though, the movie's directing and style isn't necessarily unique or even necessarily memorable, but everything feels deliberate without being distracting, and all of the techniques used help drive the narrative forward rather than intruding on the story being told. However, as I said earlier, I feel like the main thing people recognize about Shawshank is the story and the themes that it is telling. I think one of the main sort of themes of this movie is the humanity of the prisoners versus the inhumanity of the justice system, where all of the prisoners are shown to sort of be trying to find their own little bits of freedom while in prison, right? So Andy has all these side projects. He's, besides his tunnel that he's making a chess set and he's building a library and trying to teach the other prisoners and get them like their equivalencies and that sort of stuff. And he's trying to find a usage of his time that he feels is meaningful. The same happens with Brooks, who works as the librarian and is trying to nurse a bird back to life. And in general, all of the prisoners have these little bits that try to make them feel more free. And in general, this humanization makes us sympathize with the characters a lot more, right? Where we don't see them as criminals, we see them as actual people that happen to be incarcerated, which I feel like is a much more nuanced and realistic approach. However, this is part of what got the so much criticism when the movie came out. The movie came out in 1994, as I mentioned earlier, around the same time as Bill Clinton's Minimum Sentencing Act, and this came out in a time where there was a very large push in media for the further criminalization of criminals and the further sort of portrayal of them as these violent, hardened people, whereas in reality, that's not always the case. And so I really appreciate the sort of direction that Darabont takes with this movie by portraying most of these people as just people who made a mistake at one point in their lives and are now trying to find a way to live with themselves. This also really greatly contrasts the prison guards, who are cold and use violence to keep the inmates in line. I think this is best exemplified by the warden's line.
I believe in two things, discipline and the Bible. Here you'll receive both. Put your trust in the Lord. Your ass belongs to me.
The guards beat a man to death during Andy's first night at Shawshank, as I mentioned earlier. Captain Hadley threatens to throw Andy off a roof for talking to him. And then later in the movie, Tommy is killed by the warden because he thinks that he has evidence that could lead to Andy being found innocent. The prisoners are fed maggots, they provide free labor against their will, and are locked in solitary for weeks at a time. This mistreatment leads to the arrest of many of the guards at Shawshank in the end of the movie. And in general, this greatly contrasts the portrayal of the prisoners. This contrast, I think, paints a really vivid picture of the criminal justice system and all of the problems with it, right? Where we see Andy, who is later revealed to actually be innocent, constantly mistreated and abused.
There's not a day goes by I don't feel regret. Not because I'm in here, because you think I should. I look back on the way I was then. A young, stupid kid who committed that terrible crime. I want to talk to him. try to talk some sense to him. Tell him the way things are. But I can't. That kid's long gone, and this old man is all that's left. I gotta live with that. Rehabilitated. It's just a bullshit word.
But in the end, they're all still sort of treated the same. And I feel like this portrayal is incredibly nuanced, and it's one that's not really talked about enough. At least it wasn't at the time. And so I feel like this movie has a really relevant role in that whole discussion. So, as I said earlier, this section discusses sexual assault and rape in prison. So, if you don't want to listen to that, skip this next section. But throughout the movie, Andy is assaulted and raped by Boggs and his gang known as the Sisters. These interactions are haunting because they greatly contrast from Andy's interactions with the rest of the prisoners. Oftentimes in prison movies, rape is played in one of two ways, either as a joke at the expense of the masculinity of the man being raped, or as a way for the main character to prove their masculinity by fighting off their attacker, who is typically a stereotypical gay character. However, Andy being attacked, even when he attempts to fight back, is never one of these two categories. Darabont makes it clear that Andy is suffering because of these attacks, and he also shows Andy living through this in shame, despite Red being aware and wanting to help him.
I wish I could tell you that Andy fought the good fight, and the Sisters let him be. I wish I could tell you that, but prison is no fairy tale world. He never said who did it, but we all knew.
Another nuance that Darabont brings to this is when Red and Andy discuss the Sisters.
Sisters have taken quite a liking to you. Especially Boggs.
Don't suppose it would help any if I explained to them I'm not homosexual.
Neither are they. You have to be human first. They don't qualify.
The Sisters attack Andy because they like the power associated with it, not necessarily because they want sex. And this is something that's never really discussed when it comes to rape in general, but also, like, rape in prison, where this is not an issue because these men are homosexual. It's a problem of people that want to have control over other people. And I feel like this message adds to the already nuanced take on the whole criminal justice system to discuss a very prevalent and real issue for many people that are currently incarcerated. However, I feel like this take is harmed somewhat by the depiction of the Sisters, since they are still very feminine characters, or at least stereotypically feminine, and I think this goes against the idea that Red says when he says they would have to be human first, because they are still portrayed as stereotypical homosexual men, while the movie seems to be arguing that they're not. So that sort of cognitive dissonance right there, sort of harms the overall message that this part is trying to convey. The movie also discusses the idea of institutionalization, which is the idea that prisoners, once they are in prison for a long enough time, are unable to live on the outside, right? Where they've become reliant on the ecosystem of prison and don't know how to live outside of it. So this is first shown with Brooks, who is so afraid to leave because he's been there for decades that he is willing to kill one of his friends just to be able to stay. And then when he finally does get out and he's working as a grocer, he is unable to adapt and he ends up hanging himself. And this comes about halfway through the movie, and it sort of plants the seeds of this idea of institutionalization, but it's more fully realized in the end once Red is paroled. Because Red, as the narrator, talks about what it's like to be institutionalized, and he explains just how different his life is and how difficult it is to suddenly be so alone and ignored in society, whereas before he was a prevalent, you know, contraband smuggler and had a whole group of friends and a whole life inside.
40 years I've been asking permission to piss. I can't squeeze a drop without say-so. There's a harsh truth to face. No way I'm gonna make it on the outside. I do anymore is think of ways to break my parole. So maybe they'd send me back. Terrible thing to live in fear. Brooks Adeline knew it. Knew it all too well. All I want is to be back where things make sense. Where I won't have to be afraid all the time.
I think this idea of institutionalization is really prevalent, both on a psychological level, but also on a social level, right? Where, like, right now, even, like, currently, it's very hard for ex-convicts to be able to find jobs or find houses or, like, you know, you can't vote, along with the psychological issues of having been locked up and having every single one of your actions and thoughts controlled, right? Like, seen with Red, who's unable to go to the bathroom without even getting permission, and that sort of damage that's caused. And I feel like this is also an area of the justice system that's greatly overlooked in society, where there's an idea that once you go to prison and you get out, you're supposedly reformed, but I'm not sure this is actually the case. And that's why recidivism is such a prevalent issue in the justice system. I think the most memorable part of Shawshank Redemption, however, is the ending, because of how it uses the rise in tension and the clues that have already been put in place to create this twist, and I think without the ending, this movie wouldn't have the long-lasting impact that it has. So, for those of you who haven't seen it, the end, it turns out Andy has been tunneling his way out of his cell for 19 years with his little rock hammer that he's used to carve rocks. And he finally escapes from Shawshank. And I feel like this ending is really effective for a number of reasons. First off, it shows Andy's devotion to his innocence and to his idea of remaining free despite being a prisoner. This is an idea I talked about earlier, but all of the prisoners, they find their own form of freedom while in Shawshank. And for Andy, that takes the place in helping educate people, and he does taxes for the guards, and all these sorts of things that he would have done on the outside anyways. But in the end, he is innocent, and so the only true way to be a free man is to actually go and live a free life for him. This is even shown earlier on when they're tarring the roof, and Andy asks for beer for all the inmates that were working in exchange for helping Captain Hadley with a tax issue he was having. And the explanation that Red gives is basically that Andy just wanted to feel like a free man again, right? And this is the idea of all of the men in Shawshank, they're looking for the freedom they can find in prison because they understand that they belong there, right? Almost all of them are actually guilty of the crimes they've committed, and so they're all trying to find their own sort of solace and acceptance of that while still feeling like they have their own freedom. But Andy, who is innocent, needs to find this greater form of freedom and realization in order to be living his life.
It's down there and I'm in here. I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living, or get busy dying.
Andy basically recognizes that there's no point in living his life if he is not working towards something. So in this case, if he is not working towards becoming free, then he's basically accepting death. I also love this movie because the clues are built up throughout, and the tension makes the ending much more impactful, right? And so we see earlier on Andy carving his name into the wall, but it cuts away before he finishes writing his name, and it's revealed because this is when he starts making his tunnel. There's also a lot of emphasis throughout the movie on the posters on Andy's wall, and this is because that's where the tunnel is hidden. However, we as the audience don't realize that. Andy explains his whole secret person to Red earlier in the movie, and it's sort of explained as a way for the warden to launder money. However, we now can look back on it and see that Andy, from the beginning, planned on using this personality for himself in order to have money once he's escaped prison. And even simple things, like we watch Andy a lot of times be walking throughout the yard when they're outside, and the reason is because he is you know, funneling out rocks that he's gotten from his tunnel out into the yard in order to avoid suspicion. And in general, I think that this method of storytelling where the clues are all laid out beforehand in a way that seems like it has no purpose but actually is relevant to the ending is really effective because it means on multiple viewings, there aren't plot holes that come up, right? Like, we are able to watch this the next time and know the ending and see all these clues building up, but it doesn't ruin the ending. The ending still has the tension required from it because of the other contextual elements of the ending,
right?
We see Andy is devastated after Tommy's death, and he's hopeless after spending 2 months in solitary and having been in Shawshank for like 20 years at that point. And in general, this sort of adds to this feeling of hopelessness that we clearly see with Andy. And it's only made worse by Andy requesting 6 feet of rope from one of the other inmates, right? And so this is all building up to a perceived ending where we think Andy is going to hang himself, right? And instead, though, that tension ends up building up to Andy escaping, which is unexpected, right? Like, I think most people watching this don't necessarily expect him to escape, but it fits in perfectly with the actual themes in the movie, right? This movie ends on a very hopeful tone, whereas if it ended in any other way, it would have just felt very depressing, and it would have, again, felt hopeless, right? And I don't think that's the message of the movie. I feel like the message is about how the human spirit prevails despite all of this, and how the humanity of the prisoners, like, goes past the inhumanity that the justice system is treating them with. I think also the title fits in really well with this whole idea, because on the surface, or like going in, it seems like it's going to be about how the prison is sort of redeeming its inmates, right, and how the inmates inside are able to find redemption by serving their time. But instead, what it's about is actually Andy redeeming the injustice in his escape, right, where he has been treated with so much cruelty while in prison that his escape is actually redeeming all of that and is almost balancing it out. Thank you so much for listening. This episode of Cinema Scrutiny was written and edited by Kobe Davenport. The producer is Jack Rosenberg. Our theme was written and performed by Danny Seligman, and the cover art of the podcast was created by Matt Gallagher.